You're listening to the official podcast of Asbury University, produced by students with God-honoring conversations that inform, edify, and encourage. This is Asbury. We explore culture and current topics through a Christian worldview, promoting a well-balanced life, and we empower our community to belong, become, and be set apart. I'm your host, Abby Laub. Welcome to This is Asbury.
Hey guys, welcome to This is Asbury. I'm here with our professor of journalism, Rich Maneri, and we're here to talk about some artificial intelligence.
Yes, we are. One of my favorite topics, by
AI.
The way.
Yeah. And we have had to, fun fact, we've had to re-record this podcast a couple of times due to just malfunctions. So maybe we can get some AI in this podcast to
maybe
kind of...
Maybe we need an AI on the front end
maybe
to
we
figure
did.
It out.
Who would have thought? Because they were pretty negative towards AI, I feel like. You had some negative views.
Yeah. It was a doomsday scenario for me and AI the first two times we did this. Is this three or two?
Yeah, I think this is three.
This is three, yeah. It's sort of like... repainting the Sistine Chapel over and over again. How can you make that better? It's impossible. But
no, correct.
We're going to try.
So tell me, has your opinion changed of AI since the
no.
last podcast?
Oh, okay. Actually,
all right.
Actually, it hasn't.
All right.
I've done some reading and I've talked to some colleagues since the first time or two we did this, and there's some pretty strong disagreement among colleagues in this building and elsewhere about the future of AI. My concern is the potential for abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Human nature being what it is, at least in my field, at least in journalism.
Yeah.
So I've told my students, and I continue to tell my students, just forget about it. Pretend it doesn't exist as we do our work. Now, I realize there are other potential uses for it and positive uses as a research tool among them. But the future of abuse and human nature being what it is, that's what really bothers me. Because even things, and you know this, I mean, even things that are not inherently bad or evil – can be used for bad or evil purposes. And just look at the internet. Look at social media. What was the point of social media when we first heard of it, Facebook, way back when? Well, it was going to bring everybody together.
It did.
Right?
Yeah.
It did.
In probably the worst ways possible
right now,
honestly.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, it was supposed to bring everybody together. We could communicate with each other. Mm-hmm. We could talk to people we can't be near. And all that's great. But look how it's also divided us.
Yeah.
And Facebook and Twitter and all the social media platforms, they've been really used as a tool to divide us. So that's what worries me.
So like you said, with social media, obviously it's like a double-edged sword where you have the positive aspects like digital social media marketing and getting your message out there in more adequate ways, I guess. How, like, with AI, do you think that the bad then outweighs the good, or do you think – us as a society in the business industry or the journalism industry, we could swing it to where we just use it in a beneficial way.
Well, I would hope that we could do that, but the pessimistic side of me says that we can't because we couldn't do it with social media. Social media has been a great tool in some ways. You look at how much faster it disseminates news and disseminates information, and all that's great. And we recognize that that's great. But what are the negatives that have come along with that?
Mm-hmm.
Misinformation,
mm-hmm.
division. I mean, dangerous false stories being perpetrated through social media platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at it this way. You know, I'm old enough to remember reporting in a pre-digital age.
Mm-hmm.
And just because something is faster and easier doesn't necessarily mean it's better.
Yeah.
So we should really ask ourselves, is reporting and the quality of journalism any better because of these platforms,
mm-hmm.
any better than it was 35, 40 years ago?
Yeah.
I would argue that it isn't. Now, I'm dating myself. I'm sure I'm showing my age. But Is it really? Is the quality of our work better now because of social media? I mean, it's faster. It makes things easier. Information is more accessible. But I don't know that it's better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I had the opportunity to take multiple of your classes during undergrad. And I remember you showing us news clips of, like, I think it was CNN, kind of going back on the news that they put on, like, television the day before and offering corrections, like a "we messed up" section.
Right.
And I kind of do see that happening more and more in the future as AI comes into the picture. Because you never know when it's going to mess up when they're generating content.
Right. Right.
And have you heard of Genesis?
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you think about that? I mean, obviously, I know what you think about it, but but please go on.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about it. I think it's...
Do you want a little snippet, a sentence snippet?
Yeah, give me a sentence snippet. Give me that.
So apparently Genesis is a personal assistant for journalists, which promises to take in information, details of current events, for example, and generate news content.
Yeah, see, I could use a personal assistant in many other areas, but, but you know, can't we just do our own work, gather our own information, write our own stories, do our own research? See, this is, again, this is me being an old guy, I guess, and being kind of a traditionalist. Mm-hmm. But why do we need all of these artificial agents working on our behalf? Can't we just go out? You know, it's so hard, you know, with students, to get students to get up and go outside and observe things and talk to people. And you know this.
Yes. Yeah.
So am I wrong on that? No.
People are getting lazier.
Absolutely.
In every way possible. It's just convenience.
And
now,
I think these things make us lazier. Yeah. I mean, email, something as simple as email, that has made it much easier. I can't tell you how many times I've been interviewed by young people who are asking questions via email. Now, that's okay if you can't physically talk to the person,
yeah,
which is rare. Either come and see me or pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And so that's just email. How much lazier is Genesis and AI going to make us?
Correct.
And I generally don't like things that make human beings or human ingenuity or creativity superfluous. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what these things threaten to do. Now, people would argue that, well, what about the creativity that goes into AI? But I don't know, as our president, Kevin Brown, said at a forum recently, and I'm paraphrasing him here, it threatens our authorial voice when we rely on AI. And that just really worries me.
Yeah. So do you think our voice, our like human touch to kind of news articles or journalism in general, how do you balance then hard news, news stories, features, whatever, insert whatever there with AI? Do you think we're losing a human touch, or do you think in the sake of objectivity, it's helpful to have this rigid technology to write for us?
At least for me. I mean, as a reporter, as a Christ follower, I have to bring empathy to my job, covering hard news, whether it's murders, fires, corruption, whatever it is. I have to bring a certain empathy to those stories. AI doesn't have empathy. And so when you rely on AI, you're losing that sense of empathy, that sense of compassion, which even in an objective news story is there. I mean, you can't look at human tragedy from such a cold perspective. That your reporting then lacks empathy. Mm-hmm. And AI doesn't have empathy. AI doesn't have compassion.
No. Do you think we can teach AI empathy and compassion?
It would be up to somebody a lot smarter than I am to figure that out. Mm-hmm. But I don't see how you can replace human compassion with AI-generated compassion or human empathy.
Yeah. No, that's definitely an element.
And I think these are really important questions. And there are people much smarter than I am, Elon Musk among them, and others who know a lot more about this stuff who are really concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they're concerned, I'm concerned.
Yeah. Because it'll infiltrate probably every aspect of the media. I mean, writer's strike.
It will, yeah.
Writing, acting, et cetera, all that kind of stuff. And I even saw – I was researching for this and I saw an article online and one of the first sentences was like this article was written by a human. And they were like, oh, you're going to see like a lot of this come 5 years. And you have to have that little like sign that, oh, this wasn't written by technology.
Yeah. Again, so we've got AI supplanting human beings and human creativity. And from a practical standpoint, putting people out of work.
Mm-hmm.
And we've already seen that. I mean, I read an article over the summer where a group of radio stations decided to lay off all their news people and replace them with AI. And so that's going to continue to happen as AI continues to get more and more sophisticated. And we that's nothing new. You know, robotic cameras moved their way into TV studios years ago. Mm-hmm. But the proliferation of the technology now is to the point where you can see a path toward entire organizations just becoming AI driven.
Yeah.
And that's not good.
Yeah.
Because again, you're losing positions. You're losing human creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a serious concerns about that.
Yeah. And with that, going into the work industry, with you educating journalism students for journalism specifically, how would you say we go about educating ourselves and entering into the industry then? Do we learn how to create and run AI technology? Do we just go the normal journalism route and hope that it doesn't take over our news station?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I've spoken to colleagues about this. We need to educate ourselves about it, what it can do on the constructive side, you know, how it can actually help us without overtaking us. I mean, there's a fine line there, I think, and that's the line that really worries me. But I think we need to approach the profession, or we should be approaching the profession with, you know, our eyes wide open to how this is going to be used. Now, in terms of how we do our jobs, commitment to truth, commitment to facts, I don't think that should change. But how is AI going to be incorporated into this process? I don't know. And, within 5 years, we're going to know a lot more.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. The technological advances will be pretty hefty in the next couple of years.
Yeah. I mean, 20 years ago, no one could have imagined anything like Twitter. And
you mean X?
Or X as it's now.
Come on now.
As it's now called. And 30 years ago, Facebook wasn't even a thought. You know, something like Facebook wasn't even a thought. And those are now platforms for disseminating information.
Mm-hmm.
But we've already seen how false stories can be generated.
Yes, like the Pentagon.
Well, like the Pentagon via AI.
Yeah.
So how much more is that going to continue?
Oh, my goodness, so much. I'm sure, like, not that huge of a headline story, but I'm sure there's hundreds of stories that go on social media platforms every day that are just generated.
Yeah, and then it really becomes incumbent upon the consumer to kind of do your own research, do your own fact-checking, and try to decide what's true, and seeing if you can corroborate it from other sources. So now you're acting – you have to act as the journalist.
Yeah.
And –
Which rarely consumers want to do.
Yeah, and don't. Yeah. And they just don't.
Yeah.
Because I see students don't do it.
Correct.
I mean, you know, you know how you consume news and how a lot of people consume news now. They scroll through social media and open up something or click on something that interests them.
Yeah.
They're not going around trying to corroborate, well, is this true? Is this story different from the story I saw over here?
Yeah.
Did I get three sources that are going to corroborate the truth of this story? No, nobody's doing that.
Yeah, no. Do you remember what happened with the mini submarine going down to the Titanic?
Submersible? Yes, yep.
I got literally all of my news specifically from TikTok, and I only watched TikTok news. Now, how – I don't know how accurate that is,
right.
But I just found it funny now looking back that I rarely went to any journalistic articles to look at the news, but everything was just so recent on my social media platform that I just scrolled through and got all the information I needed.
Right. So if you're doing that as an educator, as an educated person, smart person, great writer – if you're doing that, what does everybody else do? you see it, you look at it, and, you know, just because it's there doesn't mean it's true. Okay. Just because something's in print or on television or on video doesn't mean it's true, now, especially now.
Yeah.
Because all of this stuff can be falsified.
Well, yeah.
And so it's hard enough, even if you take AI out of the question, for consumers to determine what's true and what's not true. You factor AI into it, and then it's a total crapshoot.
Oh, yeah. Because really, the journalistic industry has blended entertainment and news.
Well,
now.
Exactly. Or news and commentary.
Correct. So then add in AI, and that's a whole nother playing field because AI does better in entertainment than in news anyway. So they're really in their niche.
Absolutely. And I encounter students every day, and you've been in some of these classes who, and it's not their fault, don't really know when they come here what the difference is between news and commentary.
Hmm.
Because they're consuming some sort of hybrid on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So when you ask a student, you ask a freshman to write a news article. You know, you give them the basic, you know, parameters, and you spend some time talking about what news is supposed to look like and all of that stuff. And they give you a news article, and it's basically commentary or with a little bit of news, or maybe it's half and half. So I have to readjust every fall and find myself talking more and more about the differences between news and commentary, trying to draw these distinctions.
Hmm.
And I spend longer every fall talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got here was 6 years ago. Maybe it was one class. Now it's like weeks I'm having to try to talk about this because they just don't get it.
Yeah, no.
Because they're not, they haven't consumed, you know, they haven't sat down and read a newspaper.
Yeah.
And looked at the newspaper and then the editorial page separately.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing what you do and a lot of people do, and they're just scrolling through social media, and that's their news.
Yeah.
So what are you actually consuming on a daily basis? Well, as you just said, it's entertainment. It's there's some element of news.
Mm-hmm.
It's commentary. It's opinion. It's analysis. Or it's completely fake.
Yes.
So who knows what it is?
Yeah, like you scroll through and there's someone telling their personal story and then weaving it into hard news. And then you walk into your journalism class and you're like, okay, I have an idea of what this is, but it's actually the exact opposite.
Exactly. So then I'm having to spend time basically undoing what they've been consuming for the last – well, really for their entire lives.
Yeah.
And it's becoming more and more part of the curriculum. It's just separating fact versus fiction or news versus commentary or news versus opinion. And so into this mix, we're going to throw AI and all of its capabilities, good and evil.
Yes.
And I don't think that's going to make things any clearer for me anyway.
No.
Again, I don't mean to – I know I'm Mr. Doomsday where this is concerned.
Maybe a little bit.
But those are just my concerns. And I don't know. I don't know where it's going. I'm not an expert.
Yeah.
By any stretch.
Mm-hmm. I guess then if you don't know where it's going, my final question for you would be how as journalists and consumers of media entering this now more advanced digital age, how do we save what we have already before everything kind of gets taken over?
Well, another really good question. I think we have to remember what the job is. I mean, if we all agree on what the responsibility of a journalist is it to search for truth? If that's the job, then we ought to just focus on that. If we pursue it along those lines and with that kind of focus, I think we'll be okay. If we don't, if we think it's something else, if we start to redefine journalism, and we've already seen this, as a form of advocacy or promotion, or if you are, depending on your political leanings, you're either going to be an advocate or you're going to be part of the resistance. If that's what we're defining journalism as now, then I think we're in trouble. If we pursue it as a quest for truth with a commitment to facts, commitment to information, commitment to the truth, then I think we'll be okay. But we've got to stay singularly focused toward that goal. Yeah. Because once you get off that track, I think you're in trouble.
Yeah. And I know my journalism education at Asbury was very truth-centered, and we're always kind of equipping our journalists to be very Christ-centered in how they approach news stories.
We do. I mean, that is our number one goal here.
Yeah.
It's not an easy thing to do, but we're committed to that, and that's it. I mean, no matter what happens with AI or any other platform or anything else that can influence us, we've got to be committed to truth.
Yeah. Yep. You heard it right. Truth. Well, thank you, Rich Benary, for coming on here and talking with us about AI. It wasn't as doomsday as the other ones.
No, that's about as positive as I can get.
I think that was really positive. We'll take it. We're ending on a positive note.
Good.
All right. Thanks, guys, for listening in.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of This is Asbury. To learn more about Asbury University, visit asbury.edu.